Welcome, welcome all to the 100th episode of Brews and Banter FC. I'm Redbeard, along with my co-host and birthday boy, Targo, as we celebrate this momentous occasion, as well as St. Tottenham's Day.
Woohoo! That's not all. As we cover all that happened in the Premier League, coaches staying, coaches leaving, undefeated seasons, more teams crown champions, all topped with a sprinkle of an EPL relegation best 11. This is an all-new episode of Brews and Banter FC, and it starts right now.
Happy birthday, my friend, and happy St. Tottenham's Day. That's got to be like the best birthday present ever besides
it
Arsenal.
It is pretty good. It is, I must say.
Pretty close. Whew. So how are you, old man?
Doing good.
Welcome to the 35 club.
Thanks. You can take it back. I don't want it.
It's not all it's cracked up to be, man. It's not.
No, it's not. But what are you drinking on this fine day?
I am drinking, because, you know, this weekend is Cinco de Mayo, or in our case, Cinco de Drinko. I have a Modelo Negro, or Modelo, but, you know, inside joke.
Modila!
So I went a little more traditional. You don't need me to describe to you how it tastes. It's delicious. It's refreshing. It's Modela. What are you drinking, my friend?
Mexican style lager. I'm drinking Multiplayer Guild Collab India Pale Ale. It's a collab from Lumberbeard Brewing, Humble Abode, your favorite, and Perry Street Brewing.
Yeah, for my neck
pretty
of the
cool
woods.
Cool can there, like a little arcade characters, like He-Man or.
It's got to be one of the coolest cans I've seen.
Some sorcerer. Yeah. We'll see how it is. Have you had this one before?
I have. I've actually drank it on this show. Long
Shows
time
how
ago,
much
though.
I remember that, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's 100, 200 beers later, pretty much. So.
Well, this one's okay.
Yeah. Not as good tasting as the can is cool.
The can is cool. Like, that's honestly why I got it, was the cool can.
Yeah.
Taste
that's why
wise,
I got it.
It's
meh.
Pretty mild. Yeah.
Yeah. It's meh.
Seven out of ten.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, here's a word from our sponsors.
Today's episode is brought to you by Acorn Hills Clothing Company. Sustainable clothing, biodegradable packaging, tree planted for every purchase, and a percentage of their sales donated to charities.
Yeah, and that's not even the best part. They give you these plantable clothing tags with every purchase. Pretty much greatest idea ever. You just scan the QR code right here for planting instructions. So make sure you go to www.acornhillsco.com and use BREWS15, that is BREWS15, at checkout for 15% off and have your tree planted today.
Yes, don't forget to use our code, BREWS15, at checkout for 15% off. This is one you don't want to miss, guys.
All right, Targo, on to the news. News. Xavi is staying as Barcelona coach.
He is.
Yeah. Originally announced in January he was going to leave at the end of the season after some, poor results. Went on a 13-game unbeaten run, and then ended in back-to-back defeats recently, won to PSG in the Champions League and Real Madrid in El Clasico. Is this the right choice for him?
I think so. I really do. Honestly, I was never a big fan of the Xavi out scenario. I thought he did okay, won them the league last season. As we saw, they made it to the quarterfinals of the Champions League this season. Not terrible. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. Plus, who else are you going to get? Anyone better out there for cheaper?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic point. I mean, who are you going to get? It's not going to be cheaper. They're already strapped for money. I mean, Thomas Tuchel's available, I guess. Is he going to do any better?
Xavi? Yeah.
No, probably not. Not with his recent track record. I think this whole entire scenario was just Barcelona's fans having too short of a memory. It's probably the hardest job in the whole entire world, besides maybe Real Madrid, Barcelona. You just get attacked from every angle no matter what you do. Nothing's good enough unless you win everything. So I don't think it was fair either. I mean, you probably see it in one of our prior episodes. I guess it's up there somewhere.
Yeah, on our YouTube.
Yeah. Well, make sure to follow us on YouTube. Like and subscribe. Make sure you hit that notification bell.
And over to the Redbubble.
Get the and lunch. Check out the Redbubble. Link in the description down below. Yeah.
As we point to our logo, yes, but like you said, who would they get, man? Rafa Márquez coming up from the youth, probably not any better. Hansi Flick,
nope,
didn't do very good with Germany.
No, nope.
Roberto De Zerbi, I would say his reputation's probably taking a hit here the way Brighton's been performing.
Yeah, I don't see any of these guys being able to take as high profile of a job as Barcelona. Rafa Márquez maybe, but he has no track record. Roberto De Zerbi,
really? Neither did Xavi, though. So. I mean,
yeah, but he's not done a bad job. So I would say the safest bet for Barcelona, I would give him a couple more years. Honestly, he's a young coach. Let him build something. He's been hampered by whatever their financial situation is. It changes minute by minute. I don't know what it is right now. I assume they're gonna have to sell a bunch of players in the summer anyway. So. Before they can buy anybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I think? I got a theory here.
Okay.
Actually, it's not an original theory. I can't take credit. I heard it somewhere. But it's the reason they're keeping Xavi for one more year, or till the end of this season, is I bet you they go after Mr. Jurgen Klopp.
I think you're onto something there. I personally think Jurgen Klopp's probably waiting for the Germany job because that's the only thing he has left to really conquer. But yeah, I mean, it would be
conquer. He hasn't conquered La Liga. He hasn't conquered Real Madrid.
I'm saying his
Liverpool
mind.
Team lost to Real Madrid in finals, man.
But he's won the twice. Champions League. He's won the Premier League. He's won the Bundesliga. Yes, I guess he could win La Liga. But
conquer Real Madrid. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair. What do you guys think? Let us know down in the comments. Is Jurgen Klopp the perfect fit for Barcelona? Is he going to be their manager in a year, I guess, 12 months time from now? Maybe a little bit, 13 months.
That's what my guess would be, yeah.
We'll see. I think you're onto something. But speaking of Liverpool, my friend, looks like Arne Slot is to take over as Liverpool boss after Jurgen Klopp leaves.
Yes,
and we both know. Manager. Yeah, he's the Feyenoord coach. He's confirmed in multiple press conferences that he wants to leave. I don't know why. Won the Eredivisie last season with Feyenoord to play a similar style of football. Is this a good appointment for Liverpool?
This one's a tough one because I mean, my honest answer is going to be we'll see, maybe. Again, it's a big step up going from the Eredivisie to the Premier League. So there's going to be big differences. We'll see if, you know, he can handle it.
Yeah, I mean, the track record
step, man. Big step up.
Yeah, I mean, you got a point. The track record of coaches going from the Eredivisie to the Premier League. I mean, let's look at the most recent one.
Ten Hag.
Eric Ten Hag. It's not great, but... I mean, they're looking for a young, up-and-coming coach, similar style of football. Feyenoord do play very exciting football, and they're very good going forward. So, yeah, I mean, the easy route is to say, we'll see. I'm not too sure, because he's going from a club of Feyenoord stature to Liverpool, which is, like,
it's a way big up jump. Here. It is a big jump up.
Massive jump. Not to mention the pressure of the English media. So I don't know, but the problem is there's not Like, who else are you going to get? There's not many great coaches out there that play a similar style of football.
Or just great coaches out there in general.
Exactly.
It's a small short list, man.
I'm sure they were looking at DeZerbi, but like what you said, his recent track record has been atrocious, to say the least. So I think probably that kind of they were like, nah, I don't want him. So, yeah, we'll see how it pans out.
So I guess if you're going to force me to not say we'll see, I think it's not going to be good. I do think he has a good core group of players there. You know, your Van Dijk's, Mo Salah's looking like he's going to stay, even though he has a Saudi Arabia interest. He's got that brand new midfield with McAllister and Sapulsalai and all those players. But again, we've seen it in the past. The manager that follows a great, you know, you think of Alex Ferguson, Arsene Wenger, the managers that followed did not do the best and usually didn't last very long.
Exactly. So I had a question for you and I'm going to make you think about it. So it's okay if you take a second.
Okay. Let me take a sip here. Get some thinking juices in me.
I will ask it while you're getting your thinking juices. How long does he stay as the manager of Liverpool?
I'm going to give him till next March.
Okay. So not quite a year. So you're saying my next question was going to be over under the amount of time Unai Emery spent as Arsenal manager.
You have to refresh my memory, man. How long was Unai Emery at Arsenal?
18 months.
So I think it'll be shorter.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. Be honest with you, I haven't seen enough of him to be like he's got more than one way to play football. So right now it's looking more like an Ange Postecoglou appointment, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
Well, the thing, like I said, he's got going for him. He's got a good core group of players there.
He does. If he can keep them all there, that is the question. All right. Speaking of a good core of players, Bayer Leverkusen stayed undefeated after drawing Stuttgart 2-2. Another last gasp goal for Leverkusen to give them a draw. Man, was this like the 97th minute?
It was, and there was like 96 minutes of stoppage time. It was after stoppage time. There was a foul, and a free kick went in, man. Ball bounces around the box. I think it was Heinrich puts it in. I couldn't believe it. Stuttgart played so well. They could have had another two or three goals, honestly. I think Bayer Leverkusen go undefeated, man. I think this was a game for them to slip up. They didn't.
Just seems like fate, doesn't it? Just seems like fate. It's crazy. Go from relegation to invincible in a season and a half. That's insane.
And they have such a good team, man. Like, so many good players. Like, all throughout. Like, Xabi Alonso's bringing off Jonathan Tah at halftime, bringing on Encampie, bringing on a Florian Wirtz, Granit Xhaka suspended for this one, bringing on Victor Boniface. They just have so many players.
Well, they do. And a lot of these players, too. I mean, we knew of a few of them coming into this season and how good they were. But they've all just, their levels have just gone up and keep going up and up and up.
Oh, so I guess I got a question for you. Do you think Bayer Leverkusen have overperformed and will see a downfall next season?
That's a tough question to answer because their squad is young, right? They got a leader in Granit Xhaka. And he seemed to be that missing piece that they needed. Problem for me is I want to say they have overperformed. However, they're a young squad, and they keep getting better and better and better. So I would say for this season, they overperformed. And I'm going to stick with that until they show me next season they can maintain those levels, kind of like Arsenal did this season.
Do you think they maintain those levels?
I do. I mean, it's the Bundesliga. They're going to get extra money from being in the Champions League next season. They've gone so far undefeated in the Europa League. They could win that too. I just think if they can go the whole season undefeated in all competitions, there's no telling what they could do come next season in the Champions League.
I think I'm going to disagree with you because I think a lot of those same players won't be there next season.
That's another thing. Do they leave or do they stay and play for Xavi Alonso because he did the same thing.
He is staying, Xavi Alonso, which I have a theory about him as well.
Okay.
Carlo Ancelotti will be at Real Madrid one more year. Hence why Xavi Alonso signed another contract. But I think next year he will leave for that Real Madrid job.
That is a very bold prediction, Cotton. We'll see how that pans out for them. But I don't think you're far off with that one either. I mean, you're full of bold predictions today.
I am.
It is your birthday, so let's keep those bold predictions running, all right? Completely unrelated topic. PSG won Ligue 1. Surprise, surprise.
Bold prediction. They win it next year, too. Oh.
Even without Kylian Mbappe, huh?
Even without Kylian Mbappe.
All right. Well, you're probably not wrong there. That's one of the easiest predictions you can make in all of football. So, 12 points above second place Monaco. They've lost one game all season. Most goals scored. 18 more than Monaco. But not the best defense. Why is that?
Best defense, yeah. I think they kind of got some, you know, not to disrespect Kylian Mbappe because he's a fantastic player, but the guy doesn't like to really do his defensive duty, which is why I think they maybe he's more of a luxury player. I think there's a couple luxury players, so they can see goals.
Yeah, I mean, their wingers are notorious for not going back and playing defense, so I understand that. And they struggled with injuries in the midfield most of the season, so that's not going to help them at all.
But they got Mbappe up there banging 20-plus goals a season, so.
Yeah, if not 30-plus a season.
If not 30, yeah. I think this year he's at 30. Like, him and Harry Kane are just, like, right there.
Don't forget Victor Gyökeres, who has 40 now. So, good for him.
Yeah, but that's Portugal.
That is, well, it's like saying France, so.
Let's say France is a step up above Portugal.
I think they're about the same.
You think they're the same? Okay, well, give me your leagues in order then. At least your top five.
Okay, well, Premier League's number one.
Okay.
I think the Bundesliga is number two. Serie A is number three. And this is where it gets hard. Sorry, I forgot one. Yeah, La Liga is number two. Okay. Putting me on the spot here. I'm forgetting things already. So, Premier League, La Liga, Bundesliga, Serie A. Fifth one's tough, man. It's tough. I'm gonna go a draw between Portugal and France.
You gotta give me one. You could say the Netherlands.
No, I don't think that's true either. All right, I'll go for right now. I'm going to go Ligue 1 only because Kylian Mbappe is there. When he leaves, we'll have this discussion later.
It'll be Liga Portugal, huh?
Right? Who knows, man? I don't know. The top five in the world. I just did Europe. I mean, depends how this summer goes. Could be the Saudi League. I don't know. Depending on what they do this summer. Who knows? But MLS, maybe. I don't think so. It's just pretty much Messi and then everybody else. So,
well, let's talk about that number one league of yours, the Premier League. We had the big North London derby, man. Arsenal, Tottenham. Arsenal came out 3-2. A couple of refereeing decisions, though, that went their way. Let's talk about them. So they went up 1-0, own goal.
Yep.
The second goal, though, couple potential, air quote, potential fouls that didn't go Tottenham's way. Arsenal go right down the field. Saka scores a goal.
Also, fouls for you? Before we get past that little scenario there, what a ball by Kai Havertz. What a ball.
Was a good, great ball. Fantastic.
Anyways, first touch too. Continue.
Maybe a little lucky first touch there for Saka. I don't know. We'll see. I think he got a little lucky with that first touch.
I think he's more lucky with the poor defending on him, letting him go to his left foot. So
that's true. That is also true. But were those fouls in the buildup for you?
Which one do you want to start with?
Well, I think there's the clipping that Trossard clips Kulusevski's foot.
Okay. You want to start with that one? All right. Yeah.
I think that's the most obvious one. I think the tackle from Declan Rice on James Madison. Declan Rice gets the ball. I don't think it's
Gabriel, I think it is.
It was Declan. And
Saliba clips the back of him as Gabriel's getting the ball.
It was Declan.
Okay.
That won the ball.
Okay. Well, no matter what, I think the Madison one, you're right. Kulusevski one, I've heard so many people complain about this one and say it's a foul. I don't think so, and let me tell you why. First off, he hits the ball too far out in front of him. So the ball, essentially, it's him and Trossard going to the ball. So there's no one within the vicinity of the ball. He's also going away from goal. Kulusevski cuts across Trossard. Trossard does not initiate the contact. I think Kulusevski does. Hence why it's not a penalty. I've heard the question, if it was anywhere else on the field, would it be a foul? And I think because Kulusevski cut across Trossard, I don't think it would have been a foul anywhere on the field.
I think what also hurts Kulusevski is he takes 3 steps.
I agree. And I've heard people say, why don't you just go down? You get in the box, you get contact. Michael Oliver was right there. So
I'm going to ask you 2 questions then. The first one, if that happens to an Arsenal player, would you think it's a foul? Or is your Tottenham bias?
Probably my bias during the match would say yes. During the match. And then watching it a couple more times, I probably would say no.
Okay, so then I would feel to my second question.
If it was given, I would say it's really harsh. But then again, if it was given, I don't think VAR overturns it. So
that's kind of my second question. If the referee gets sent to the monitor for a second look, does he give it?
I don't think so. Michael Oliver was too close to that. I think he was too close to that.
I think he gives it if he goes to the monitor on a second look.
I don't think so.
I don't get me wrong. I think if it's given as a foul, it's a very soft one. But we've seen him given. I don't think it would get overturned. But at the same time, I think if Mike Oliver goes to the monitor for a second look, he probably gives it.
Well, it's been very inconsistent this season, whether those are fouls or not. We've seen it happen in multiple games. So it could have gone either way.
It really could have. And this was a huge moment. Because this goes from Spurs getting a potential penalty to now being 2-0 down.
In the span of what? 10 seconds?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It happened so quick, and it just completely changes the game for Spurs, at least.
Yeah.
Who then goes down another goal after Kai Havertz scores off a corner.
Oh, man. Yeah. And, you know, aside from the shouts for penalties, I think Spurs were really bad in this match.
Really?
I think the scoreline flatters them. I mean, Arsenal handed them 2 goals. Handed them 2 goals. I mean, David Raya caught in 2 minds. That was awful. It was absolutely awful. And then Declan Rice not looking over his shoulder and essentially kicking, I forget who it was, whether it was Madison or Chris. Yeah, Ben Davis. Kicks him in the nuts. I felt so bad for Ben Davis. Oh, my God. They showed it like 6 times on replay, and every single time my groin hurt worse and worse and worse.
So interesting, though, the ref had to go to the monitor for a second look at that one to give that penalty.
Yeah.
Didn't see it live.
The crazy thing is he did see it, but he was on the other side. He was in a great position because you see in the replay, he's standing right there.
Yeah, right behind the action.
But I think it's because of the angle he had, right? Because he's on the other side of Ben Davis. That's why he didn't see it. And I mean, he went to the monitor and literally saw one look of it, like barely stopped. Turns around and calls a penalty. So,
yeah. Mickey Van de Ven also had a goal taken back due to offsides just by literally Gabriel's butt cheeks, man. Like, he sucked him in to get him offside.
Really, though.
He did a little butt clench and whoo, put him offside.
Right when the ball was kicked. Yeah.
So you're
I don't know if it's because he thought Van der Ven was offsides or because he thought he was onside, so his butt clenched. So
I disagree with you. I think Tottenham played well. They controlled the game for the most part. Like, going in at halftime, I was like, how is this 3-0? How have they... I mean, it's set pieces. That's why it was 3-0. They conceded on a couple corners. But honestly, they controlled the game, had the possession. They just couldn't do anything with the ball.
And that's why I say they didn't play well, because Arsenal were happy to just sit there and say, hey, score on us.
And it was, and it was. That was,
if it wasn't for Arteta two mistakes. Came out
with a different match plan for this game.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for
that all-out attack.
If it wasn't for the two mistakes, I don't think Spurs score in this game at all. What did they create in this match, shot-wise? I know there was the Romero header that hit the bar, and that was it. James Maddison was non-existent in this match.
That's why he got subbed off.
Yeah.
He was non-existent. Romero was their biggest threat.
Yeah. Mickey van der Ven got a goal. Right? He was the one that kicked it.
He scored the offside. No, Romero scored the one.
Okay. Well, yeah, then there you go. Romero was their only threat. I think if Arsenal didn't give them two goals, I think Arsenal probably scores more, to be honest with you. I mean, Spurs were, that was the worst I've ever seen a team defend a set play. Like, the whole match. Every single time Arsenal got a set piece, you're like, eh, they're going to score.
Well, in the first half, we saw Ben White just having his way with Vicario. Oh,
the dark arts of Ben White, man. That was the most fun I've ever had watching a player mess with a goalie. Trying to take his glove off. That was hilarious. Brilliant.
I will say the second half, they changed it up. Basuma came in and was marking Ben White then, because Ben White was kind of just having his way with Vicario.
Yeah.
Then they brought in Basuma to try to contain Ben White.
Yeah, I don't even know why Basuma was on the bench, unless he's coming off an injury, which I don't remember him doing. So, and then, yeah, I mean, for Arsenal, Thomas Partey being back, you can see how much that they benefited from that. And then I just think Arsenal rubbed the floor with Tottenham. And then rubbed the floor with themselves at the same time. So
Arsenal's biggest threat was Arsenal in this game.
It really was.
It keeps them top of the Premier League by a hair.
By a hair.
Which is crazy, because they could win out all these games and
still lose be champions. The title. Yeah, and we'll get to that here in a second. But first, I want to talk about Spurs.
Okay.
Because I know we've both heaped a lot of praise on Big Ange.
But why is no one talking
about him not having a single plan B? I mean, this second half of the season, they've been
awful.
What
are you talking about, man? Everyone's talking about him not having a plan B. And they've been talking about that since the Chelsea game, where he died from that high line, because he does have no plan B. He just has his one way, and that's the way they're going to play. Everyone's talking about it, man. We've been talking about it for months.
Sorry, why is nobody talking about it more? Because in the Premier League, you got a Luton who is, you know, high press, high attack, not great in defense. And then you play a Everton who's going to sit back on you the whole time. And you'll play a Brighton who's going to fly at you at all times during a match. And then you have Chelsea, who knows what they're going to do match to match. Same with Man United. And you play a City who's going to have the ball the whole time, but play it sideways a lot. You got to have more than one way to play. They only seem to have one.
Yeah, we know. Duh. Okay. You new to watching Tottenham, man?
No.
It's been this way for... I mean, that's why they died at the Sword of Newcastle the week before. Newcastle put like four by them.
I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do we give too much credit to this Spurs side? And Ange Postecoglou?
When have we been giving credit to the Spurs side since January? Have we given any credit to them?
Well, I mean, you picked them to finish in the top four.
I did.
Above Villa. It looks like it's pretty much not going to happen at this point.
It's looking slim.
I mean, I hope it goes down to the last week of the season so they have something to play for against City, but they lose two games and they're out, pretty much.
And so, yeah, they're tough games. They have to go to Anfield. And then
the
Man City game. But I think they can beat Chelsea, they can beat Burnley, and they can beat Sheffield. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Chelsea rubbed the floor with them last time out. So we'll see what happens midweek. And then they play Liverpool.
I don't remember that game.
Didn't they? Wasn't it like 5-2 two, something like that. A bunch of couple of red cards.
Oh yeah, it was 4-1.
There you go.
That red, the red cards. You're right.
So that game could go any way. They lose that game, they lose Liverpool. They have nothing to play for the rest of the season. So that City game could be, yeah, whatever. We got one thing to play for, and it's to make sure Arsenal lose the league. That would be it. So,
but they could also beat Chelsea.
Yeah.
Draw Liverpool, beat Burnley, and then have something to play for against
City. Yeah, which leads me into my next question is, will they be able to catch Villa? Because Villa don't have an easy schedule either.
Probably not, just because it's a... I mean, even with their games in hand, they'll still... If they win both their games in hand, they'll still be a point behind.
Which if they win... If they win both their games in hand, I will be happy for them to finish fourth. Because that means Arsenal win the title. So, I will be happy. Do I think it's going to happen? I hope. But I don't think so. I mean, Villa, their schedule is not easy either.
It's terrible, though. I mean, they go to Brighton, they host Liverpool, and then they got Crystal Palace. But then they're also still in the Europa League.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, the European Conference League.
Or European Conference League, sorry.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's not an easy schedule, but you can see them, you know, they could, Brighton's been so bad, it's hard for me to say they're going to drop points there. Liverpool, I could see it. Palace has been playing really good lately.
Palace has been playing well lately. Yeah.
So, I don't know, it could go any which way. It's going to be exciting. Liverpool pretty much have secured third place at this point. So it's everybody sandwiching them. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Last one. Kai Havertz. And we've talked about him a lot this season. Yet another game-winning goal and an assist that at the time would have won them the match as well. But, like, as far as money spent on him, is he a signing of the season or should be in the discussion for it?
No.
Why not?
Because the signing of the season plays well the whole season.
Okay. Is Cole Palmer in the discussion for signing of the season?
Declan Rice has been a better signing.
I disagree about Cole Palmer. Him and Kai Havertz have the same. They have the same amount of goals in open play, with 11. That's how many penalties Cole Palmer has scored this season.
Yeah, but you also have to look at the context. Context matters in this. I mean, yeah, Cole Palmer's got 20 goals, 9 assists. What does Kai Havertz have?
I think it's 12-6, if I'm not mistaken. It might be 12-5.
I think it is, yeah, 12-6.
So, I'm just saying, value for money. I'm not saying he's signing the season. I'm just saying
he should be player of the season.
I said, should he be in the conversation of signing of the season? I think Declan Rice is signing of the season. I do not think Kai Havertz or Cole Palmer.
Over Kai Havertz.
Value for money, yes, but again, McAllister hasn't performed week in and week out all season.
He was also half as much as Kai Havertz cost.
Yes, and he was what? What is that? A third of Declan Rice? But that's how good Declan Rice has been this season for me. Anyways, that's the discussion about signing of the season. I think he should be in the same conversation as Cole Palmer if Cole Palmer's in for signing of the season. That's all I'm saying.
Disagree. Cole Palmer is definitely in the discussion for signing of the season. Kai Havertz, I don't think is.
I do not rate penalties as highly as you, apparently.
Well, apparently you haven't taken very many, man. Because they're pressure.
I've taken
those,
a lot.
Some of these big pressure games, yeah.
I've taken a lot.
Especially for a young teenager like that. Or I guess he's not a teenager. He's 21, but still very young.
In football terms, that's a teenager, essentially.
And a lot of them are game winners, too. In the last minutes of some of these games.
I'm just saying, Kai Havertz deserves more respect on his name for value of money.
I will say he deserves more respect for what he's done lately. But he also didn't do shit from September to January.
Okay.
And I don't think you can disagree with me on that.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you, but he also didn't play much.
He played a lot. What are you talking about, man? He was starting all these games.
Gotta let me finish.
He's played 34 games. How is gotta he not let me finish. A lot?
Gotta He's let me finish.
All but one game.
Let me finish.
No, you don't need to finish. He's played let in me every finish. Game but one.
Let me finish. At striker. That was the rest of my sentence.
Well, he didn't do shit in midfield, that's for sure. But yes, since he got moved to striker, he has done better.
He's not a midfielder. He's not a midfielder. I don't care what anyone says.
Mikel Arteta thought he was a midfielder.
He's not a midfielder. He's not. Maybe as a false nine, if you consider that a midfielder. But he's not a midfielder.
Yeah.
I don't either. So, anyways, we spent enough time on this topic. You guys let us know down below in the comments.
Yes. Kai Havertz is signing of the season.
It's not what I said, but okay.
In the conversation.
It's not what I said.
Value for money, whatever you said.
I said, should he be in the conversation?
No. But let's move on to Man City. Speaking of Man City, they did not play very well against Nottingham Forest, but somehow eked out a 2-0 win.
Yeah, I don't know.
Man, he must be a City fan.
He is.
He missed some open chances.
Saw a tweet of his from 2012 where he was chanting, City, City, City. The man is diehard City fan, and you could tell in this match.
You could tell.
You could tell. People complaining about referees being fans of teams, people should be on Chris Wood about this performance because he had, what, 3, 4, 5 open goal opportunities and either missed the ball or put it wide.
That first one, man, in the first half, he just shanks.
It doesn't even look upset about it.
Not at all.
Like, come on, man. Do your job.
It's
you
like
have
that
one
meme
job.
With a stick where you're poking something. Like, do something.
Do something. He's got one job. Put the ball in the net. That's the only reason why they got him.
And he's actually been scoring some goals lately.
I know.
Is the thing.
But not in this match.
Not
any
in
other
this
match. He puts all of those in the net. I digress.
I kind of want to talk about some of City's signings here for a second.
All right.
Jeremy Doku, Gvardiol, Nunez, Kovacic.
Okay.
Are any of them been good?
Gvardiol's had glimpses, I would say. He's got a couple goals to his name lately.
I would say lately, like the past month, he has performed well.
Jeremy Doku's been hit or miss. Sometimes
Jeremy
he looks.
Had one good game, man. One. Against Bournemouth at the Etihad.
I think yes, he's young. He's got tons of potential. When he has the ball at his feet, he's very exciting to watch. I'm not going to say that he dribbles past everybody because clearly he doesn't.
He's not a big junior.
No, I think City bought him for his raw talent and Pep wants to turn him into something. But other than that, yeah, you're right. Nunez and Kovacic have been terrible signings, in my opinion.
I don't think Kovacic was bad because they got him for fairly cheap.
And a fire sale from Chelsea. So,
but Nunez, man, they spent quite a bit of money on him, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Was it like 65 mil? Somewhere around that.
And so it's just,
I think Pep's recruitment this summer was not great. Then again, they didn't get most of their first choice options either. So I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Gvardiol was their first choice option. And I mean, he's been playing right back pretty much or left back.
Left back. Yeah.
But he has not been playing center back, which is his natural position.
But he has scored a couple bangers here recently.
He has. He has, and I did not know he had that in him, which is credit
Me
to him.
Me neither, man.
Credit to him. Those were some amazing goals. So, City win again.
Yeah.
City win again. Not surprising to anybody. I don't think really anyone thought that they were going to lose that game. I thought Forrest might give them a little bit more of an effort. But I know you don't think they're going to lose a game the rest of the season.
It's hard to see them losing, man.
And for me, it's really all going to depend on if Spurs are still in the Champions League fight when they play them. I think that's the only way they lose a game. And I don't even think they lose. I think they draw. I don't think they lose.
I mean, a draw would do it, right, with Arsenal's goal difference. But, I mean, they got Wolves next. Wolves.
Yep. They tend to cause them a little bit of problems, but it's at the Etihad. So I don't think they lose. It is at the Etihad.
And then Wolves have had their injuries of late. Mm-hmm. Fulham at Craven Cottage.
They can. They cause some teams problems. But, I don't. It's City. I don't think they will. I think it's literally down to the Spurs game.
Then, yeah,
the City will not lose on the last game of the season if it comes down to the title, is if they win or lose.
And that's against West Ham, who, I don't know, maybe West Ham, they just drew Liverpool here, so they beat Arsenal earlier, so maybe, but again, not. But
they also got whooped on the weekend, didn't they?
Who's that?
West Ham, either West Ham midweek.
Drew Liverpool.
Midweek.
Oh, against in the Europa League?
No, I think they played Palace.
Oh, yes, they did.
Yeah, they got whooped.
5-2.
Yeah.
That was last weekend, but yes.
Okay. I was close.
But yeah, man, I don't see them losing the game, and if they don't lose the game,
they win the title. Yeah. So.
Damn. Well, let's get to those surprise results that I mentioned. You know, Liverpool drew West Ham. This is an interesting
man, was
game.
There some drama in this match, especially
on
toward
the field,
the
off the field? Yeah. So there was that situation where Areola catches a ball, kind of goes down injured. Referee says play on. Areola doesn't play on. He goes to throw the ball out like it's a free kick. And then Gakpo starts running to the ball, about to put it in the net because he knows what's going on. And right before he gets there, man, Anthony Taylor blows his whistle. And it's a good thing he did, or it would have been a shit show. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't... What is Anthony Taylor doing, though? Like,
what is Areola doing?
Again, same point. I mean, Areola, he just throws the ball out and starts fixing his shin guards. And then after Anthony Taylor blows his whistle, he goes down hurt.
You see, Anthony Taylor, like, pulls him down. Like, he tells him, you need to go down right now.
Yeah. I don't understand it at all. If I'm Cody Gakpo, even if I get a yellow card, I'm putting that ball in the net. I don't care.
It'd make things interesting, that's for sure. I mean, Anthony Taylor's had his refereeing blunders this year.
But I'm just saying,
to the book.
If Cody Gakpo puts that ball in the net, at least VAR has a look at it. Whether or not Anthony Taylor blew his whistle beforehand or not.
He did just before.
I know, but VAR is still going to look at it. And if VAR says, well, that was a live ball, and Gakpo scores, that's a goal. So I think part of that is on Cody Gakpo for not putting that ball in the net, at least bringing up the discussion that it's a goal. But yeah, that was an odd sequence of events.
It was very odd. Yeah. Not one you see very often, right?
No.
Let's get onto the off-field drama, or sideline drama, I guess we could call.
And now, speaking of odd scenarios, didn't think I'd ever see this. Man.
Klopp Holy and cow. Salah. Like, Salah's getting ready to come on as a sub. Klopp, like, leans over and says something to him that apparently Mo Salah did not like.
Not at all. And he went after Klopp.
He did.
And then somehow, the voice of reason in all of this is Darwin Nunes. Makes no sense. The guy with the hottest head on the entire Liverpool team is the guy who's the voice of reason. What do you think Klopp said to him?
Some about his mama, apparently, because hot damn, he was pissed.
Oh, my God. It has to be something about, like, hey, I need you to put a performance in. And he probably was pissed. He's like, I should have just been starting the match in the first place.
That is probably what it is. It's obviously his play time.
I mean, he hasn't played much, but he also hasn't been playing well. So I understand from both sides.
It is one of those things. I think as a Liverpool fan, you see Mo Salah not starting, you're probably not too upset with the way he's been playing.
Yeah. Clearly, he was.
Apparently he was.
Yeah.
He thinks he should be playing at least. And then his comments after as he's walking down the tunnel, they're asking for interviews. He says, oh, I can't speak or there'll be fire.
What the fuck does that mean?
Let me hear this fire, Mo Salah. Come on.
Like, come on. We're all waiting for it. Say
it. Spit the fire.
Say it.
Dracarys, let's go.
Let's go. I mean, Klopp says after the match that it's over. Clearly it wasn't. Clearly. And I don't think, unless Salah starts every game for the rest of the season, I don't think we've seen the end of this spat.
I think Salah does start the next game, just to kind of squash this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a big game. Spurs at home at Anfield. So you would think he would.
Interesting, though. This was very interesting. Because, I mean, they've had such a great relationship for all these years. And then just to see that, something else is going on.
I mean, their form has been really poor since the FA Cup. I was going
to
say,
could this be leading to something and why we're seeing these poor results lately?
I mean, revolt is not far off either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for Christ's sake, they lost their first Merseyside derby since Mikel Arteta was playing for Everton. It's like 12 years ago.
It's their finishing, man. Their finishing is atrocious.
It's been so bad. And it's not for lack of opportunities either. And which is the worst part.
Not only Darwin Nunez, but it's like Mo Salah, Diogo Jota.
Luis Diaz. Yeah.
Luis Diaz, yeah, man. They're all just missing chances. Like, normally, you know, you see a team and they're like, a player will have a dip in form. This is like their whole
their entire attack, yeah. And the subs. The
attacking line is having a dip in form.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all. And we were just, what was that, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about them being the best attacking team in the Premier League.
Well, I mean, a few weeks ago, we were talking about them, how they were a few points
going to win the league. Yeah. So do they bottle it? I mean, I'll put it this way. If this was Arsenal that did this, bottled it. 100%. Everybody would be saying that. But it's Liverpool.
People are saying Arsenal bottled it this season when they've had one loss since January in the league. Like,
yeah, but no one's talking about how Liverpool were leading the league by 3 points. And now they're like five points back of Arsenal, and they've what one? Yeah, like you said, one win in their last five. How is that not bottling it? A team that's experienced enough and has won the title, unlike Arsenal, who haven't won it in 20 years with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, I don't want to call it bottling it. I hate that term.
I hate it too. I hate it too.
But they have been playing bad, and their form took a hard dive
at the absolute wrong time. Yes.
Whether this happens if Klopp announces he's leaving or not,
I mean, when he announced it, they went on a tear.
They did, but now look at them.
It's there for everyone to see.
Shit, I don't got to impress this coach anymore.
Yeah. I don't understand it either.
Speaking of poor form, let's talk about Manchester United.
Is there a worse team in the Premier League right now besides Sheffield United?
I don't know. Forest haven't been in best form, but maybe Brighton?
Yeah, I guess so.
Points-wise, Brighton, yeah.
I mean, United have won the same amount of games in their last five as Burnley. They have the same amount of points in their last five games as Burnley does.
Burnley's been on a bit of a roll here, though.
Just saying. This is Manchester United we're talking about, not Burnley. And I guess we're talking about both of them.
We're talking about both of them because they played each other. This was at Old Trafford. They drew 1-1. Your favorite player, Antony, gets on the score sheet in the 80th minute. Only for Onana to come out with a Superman punch. About time you got called for one of those, man.
Right? This is literally the same exact thing that happened against Wolves the first game of the season.
This is like a third comes time out he's late, done this.
Punches the guy in the back of the head. Like, he wasn't even near the ball.
Face, man. This wasn't the back of the head. This is the face.
Well, I'm saying the Wolves one was the back of the head.
Yeah,
this one's worse. The face. He was like trying to knock him out for no reason.
I thought he was Chuck Liddell for a second coming out.
Right? Bringing back the name Chuck Liddell. Shit.
Right? I was trying to think of a UFC fighter. Ice like, Man. Who could I name that everyone might know? But yeah, went to Chuck Liddell. Thought about Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre.
That's a lot.
But no, man, he came out swinging with them big old gloves like Chuck Liddell.
It's a great, great... I'm going to compliment you on your reference, too, because the way his fight style was. It's like fucking like this.
It was like that. If you're listening on the podcast, make sure you check out the YouTube so you can see us do the Chuck Liddell fighting stance, because that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, United, penalty shout, I guess, at the end. I don't think it was.
Weak penalty shout, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part about this whole thing is Mr. Erik ten Hag and his comments after the game.
Dude, I watch the end of the game just to hear his comments at this point.
He says, they are one of the most dynamic and entertaining teams in the Premier League. He must be talking about Burnley, because there's no fucking way he's talking about Man United, right?
No, I know exactly.
Is he that delusional?
I know exactly what he's talking about. But it's not the reasons that you're thinking.
Okay? It's because they concede goals.
They're one of the most dynamic teams, because they play differently every time you see them. They're one of the most entertaining teams because they either collapse or they play well. Because
it's like not in between. A freaking circus? Is that why it's
literally
entertaining?
Yeah, that's why he's saying that. I mean, I do think he's delusional, but I also think he's gaslighting the United fans.
Is there any way he keeps his job? Anyway.
Yeah.
Even if he wins the FA Cup, does he keep his job?
I do think there is a way he keeps his job. And I think it's because there's no better options out there.
There has to be someone better than this.
Because there's so many high-profile like jobs out there right now. I don't think that they can get, with the team they have and where they're playing right now, I don't think they can get a better coach.
I would say Thomas Frank from Brentford over Erik ten Hag.
But if you're Thomas Frank and you're staying up, if you can keep...
Manchester United, though.
I know, but it's the way that Manchester United is right now. I guess if Sir Jim Ratcliffe comes in, sure. I mean, there's Graham Potter's out there, too. He's really good with mid-table clubs, so just like United.
They got to change it up.
I do, too. I mean, let's be completely honest. There's no way. There's no way he's keeping his job. I don't even care if you go for a Graham Potter or a Thomas Frank and go down a level. I don't think he stays.
Thomas Tuchel at this point, man.
You literally ask anybody. Part of it, too, is it's going to cost them a pretty penny to get rid of
it. Will.
So.
But I think it's worth it. What this guy is saying, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Over my head.
Absolutely crazy. Speaking of another coach not doing too well, to a Pochettino.
Yep.
His Chelsea team drew 2-2 with Villa. They played terrible
them,
first half, dude.
I will give them credit. They were 2-0 down and came back.
They came back, but they played terrible that first half.
Oh, that was like that second half against Arsenal.
It was. It was like that whole game against Arsenal, let's be honest. But they came back in the second half. Connor Gallagher with a golazo, man. Does he stay at Chelsea?
I mean, unless someone comes in with a big offer for him, I don't see why not.
Because I know there's a lot of rumors going around. You know, Chelsea need to raise some money. Selling Connor Gallagher would be pure profit, as he's a one who came through the youth academy.
Yeah, it would. I don't know if they can spend any money at this point.
Well, if they sell him, that's what I'm saying. They'd have to sell. They're gonna have to sell some players.
Yeah. I think you could get some money for Raheem Sterling. I would probably get rid of him. He's not even starting.
He's leaving. He's leaving at the end of the season. Yeah.
That'll be a pretty penny of wages coming off your books, so that will help. So I think they could go any which way. Is it another season of you sell all your experienced players and sign a bunch of kids again? I don't know.
Hopefully not, because we see how that's working.
Yeah, either way, I think Chelsea probably have another mid-table finish next season with Pochettino as coach. So,
agreed. They thought they had a winner at the end of this game. Was that a foul for you in the build-up to that goal?
No.
No, really?
I didn't think it was.
I did. I did think it was a foul.
Why?
wasn't looking at the ball, and you can see a clear action towards the player as he was backing up, just a straight push into the player to put him off.
Okay.
If he goes straight up versus, you know, going into the player, I would say, yeah, it's fine. But because he attempts to play the player, not the ball, I think it's foul.
Okay.
But let's talk about a team who's actually playing well right now and are officially safe from relegation. Everton.
Everton. Three in a row, man.
Three in a row. Good for them.
Four out of five. Merseyside derby win. Beating Brentford. Hopping above them in the table. Points deduction on top of all of this. I mean, it's a what could have been. I mean, they'd be fighting for a top half finish, maybe even a European place if they didn't get that.
Good for them. At the other end, Sheffield United are officially relegated after their loss to Newcastle, in which they got thrashed. And Leicester City are officially coming back to the Premier League.
Good to see them back. Unfortunately for them, because of the profit and sustainability rules, they probably will start with a negative point total to start the season. But they were forced facing that in the championship if they stay there too. So I think it'll be less harsh with the Premier League dealing with it than the EFL. So,
well, we'll see. But now let's get to our relegation combined 11. So this is featuring team players from Sheffield, Burnley, Luton, and Forest. And we must use a player from each team, at least one.
They also have to be available for selection right now.
Yes, they have to be available for selection, and we're going off current form. Current form.
Yes.
So I'm going in goal, Thomas Kaminski from Luton. My right back, Nico Williams from Forest. Center backs, Willy Bolly and Murillo from Forest. Left back, Alfie
Doherty.
Doherty, there's no R in that, but you're right. Every time they say it, the announcers, it sounds like there's an R. My midfield consists of Gustavo Hammer, Ross Barkley, and Morgan Gibbs-White. Pretty sure that's pretty obvious. My attacking front three are Anthony Elanga, Wilson Odebear, and Carlton Morris.
Nice.
How about yours?
All right. I, in goal, also have Thomas Kaminski.
Okay.
Been much better than the rest of the goalies there. Right back, I want Issa Kabore from Luton. Center back, Mario and Tedden Mengi, also from Luton.
Yeah.
Some left Luton back, defenders. I went with all of Luton's center back three because they only play with back three. So Alfie Doherty as well. Morgan Gibbs-White, Gustavo Hammer, and Ross Barkley, the ever-present Ross Barkley this season as my midfield. And then up front, I went with Anthony Elanga, Wilson Odebear, and because I can't choose between the two strikers of Luton, I went with the other one, Elijah Adebayo.
Okay. So I will say, for yours, Kabore, when I watch him, I like him, but then I also dislike him.
He's very, like, when he's good, he's really good. But when he's bad, he's really bad.
I feel like he's quick, and he's actually really good going forward, but sometimes defending, man, he worries me. Like
I said, when he's good, he's really good. When he's
like
bad,
his positioning he takes up, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
But just worries me
like
sometimes.
Every player that's in the relegation zone, most likely not in good form, and sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
It could go either way. It really could. But we do have the same midfield. I feel like that is a good midfield choice for the three.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right?
Especially having to pick a player from each team, because we found that difficult with Sheffield.
Yeah.
Or Burnley.
Well, yeah, Sheffield and Burnley. Yeah, that was tough. Because, you know, some people don't know how to read directions. So, this guy. Anyways, thank you for joining us for our 100th episode, Targo. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
As always, this has been wonderful. Thank you all for listening along. Make sure you check us out on Instagram at Brews FC, TikTok, Brews Banter FC. Make sure you are liking, subscribing, hit that notification bell. check out Acorn Hills. Use the code BRUSE25 for 25% off. And make sure you check out Redbubble, because we got some pretty sweet merch, as Targo just showed you there. But till next time, my friends, thank you for being here for the first 100. Woo! Here's to 100 more. We love you. Happy St. Totterham's Day.